Good evening, everyone. For the last couple weeks, we've been looking at various songs in the songbook, and we're going to continue to do that for another couple weeks here till the end of this month, and somebody else will come and start teaching. But let's turn over right now to song on page 208. This song is a good song, but it does have in the third verse, a wording issue that we need to talk about. We'll look at that. But this song that we know about is Where We'll Never Grow Old. And that's got a great message for each of us. We look forward to heaven. Every one of us looks forward to heaven. And that time there, which we'll live in eternity with God. Which means our spiritual body, the body that God gives us, can never grow old. As each of us gets older, some of us are a little older than others, but as each of us gets older, we recognize the frailties of this human body, and we have to deal with those things. I know I'm not as old as some, but I'm also getting up there and having been over 70. And, of course, some of the physical aspects, as you know, I'm a runner, and I don't run like I used to could. You know, the Jeff Foxworthy era, I guess I meant where I all the things I used to could do. But the eyes don't work as well, and the ears don't work as well, and all those things happen. So we need to look at that. Let's think about this song. And one of the things we always do, because it can help us understand some of the aspects of the song, is consider the individual that wrote the song. In this case, the text is written by a gentleman by the name of James Cleveland Moore, Sr. He was born in 1888, so we can think late 19th century, 1800s, late part of the 1800s, lived into the 1900s. He was born in Georgia and eventually was educated at a Baptist institute in Georgia. He went to Mercer College, in Macon, Georgia. He also attended the University of Florida. And he had done quite a bit of musical work. So in 1914, okay, he's 26 years old, if you do the math from 1888, he had been working through this, and he produced this hymn. Actually, he produced the poetry part of it. And eventually, also at the time, wrote the music to it. So we can look at this. If we look at this song here, it poetically describes a heavenly land for which we hope. And in fact, we should be hoping to be in this land. If we look over in the first stanza, it says, I have heard of a land on the faraway strand. 'Tis a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high. There we never shall die. 'Tis a land where we'll never grow old. Very beautiful words. We think about those and look at that. It's something that I think each of us as Christians hope for. We pray for. We're working, hopefully, with every fiber of our being to achieve that goal, to achieve heaven. So let's look at that. And if we turn over into Hebrews 11, we can look at the patriarchs of old. Hebrews 11 has been talked about. It's a classic examples of faith of various men through the ages. And we can look at that. Look over in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 13, talking about these patriarchs of old, Abraham and his son Isaac, Jacob. God promised them an inheritance in the, what we call the promised land. In Israel, what is now known as Israel, he promised them that, but they never received that promise in their life. It was the nation of Israel that eventually received that promise after they left Egypt. But they were wandering in a far-off land that God had promised them, and they had gone to live in that land, but they lived in tents. Hebrews 11:13 said, all these died in faith without receiving the promises. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. God has prepared heaven for them, and those that trust him, that moved out in faith to obey him, we look at Abraham, we also look at his sons, that they stayed and lived in this land, even though they had no direct ownership of it. They were promised an inheritance there, that eventually it would be given to them. And this land had been prepared by God. If we look at this song again, I heard of a land on the faraway strand, is a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high, there we never shall die. So it's being built by God, it has been built by God, built for us. If we look over Matthew 10:28, it says, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Yes, we need to look unto the one that is going to grant unto each and every one of us that are obedient to him that eternal reward in heaven. It will be a land where we shall never shall die. Basically, the curse, if you please, of growing old is death. Eventually, we will die. But in heaven, we will have access to the tree of life, so that there will be no more death, no tears. We shall live forever there, which is what this song is about. If we look over in Revelation chapter 22, we'll be reading several verses out of Revelation tonight. It says, and he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no longer any, and there will no longer be any night, and they shall not have need of that light. And they will not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. In other words, God, Jesus, will light heaven up for us. It'll be a place that we abide. It's a place of rest, but I don't believe that we'll have nothing to do there. I think that we'll have a number of things to do, and that's to serve and wait on God. And in particular, we see in Revelation those that are there in heaven of them worshiping God. Moving on to verse 2 of the song. It says, in that beautiful home where we'll never more roam, we shall be in the sweet by and by. Happy praise to the King, through eternity sing, 'tis a land where we never shall die. The writer of the song, even though he's a Baptist, has got a great grasp on what heaven is to promise us and what the Bible tells us about heaven. And we notice that Mark 25:41 tells us, Matthew 25:41, let me try to get the right book here. Matthew 25:41, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. And let me also read 1 John 2:41, but I copied the wrong verse in my notes here. So I'll pull it up at my tablet here real quick. 1 John, if it will wake up for me here, it will here. 1 John, chapter 2, and we'll read verse 41. Excuse me, there is not a 41. So I don't even know where what I had meant to copy there, so I got the wrong one here. Let me see if I can figure out what it... I guess I would recommend that you, if you're taking notes, we can look at start in verse 17. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Children, it is the last hour, And just as you heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. So reading that whole chapter is a good one for us to do, and I'll give it as an assignment here. Also, this land is referred to as the sweet by and by because it will be a place of rest, peace, joy, and comfort. Notice that there, second stanza there, it says, we shall be in the sweet by and by. Revelation 14:13 tells us, if we look at that, it said, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. This idea of the fact that our labors that we'll receive that rest from our labors, that we'll live in that sweet by and by, because it will be a place of rest, it'll be a place of peace, it'll be a place of joy. The scriptures teach us that God will wipe away all tears. It'll be a place of comfort. Be a place that we should be wanting to go to be with. And as such, we should be wanting to obey God and seek Him in all that we do. It's also going to be a land of activity. And one of the activities that will be given, that will be given to the redeemed in heaven, is to praise God. In Revelation 21, verse 24, it says, the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of earth will bring their glory into it. In the daytime, for there will be no night there, its gates will never be closed, and they will bring glory and honor of the nations into it. So the glory and honor will be brought into heaven, be brought by those of us that will be in heaven. And I think we're all striving and trying to be there and get there, to get to heaven. If we look in stanza 3 of the song, it tells us our voices will blend with those who have gone on before. We'll get to see them, know them. What a blessing it'll be to meet Abraham, to meet Isaac, to meet Paul, to meet Peter, to meet all these names of faith that we've seen in the scriptures, to meet them and be with them. Most importantly, it'll be wonderful, awesome, to be there with God, to be there with Jesus Christ, to be there with the Holy Spirit. We look in verse 3, it says, when our work here is done and the life crown is won and our troubles and trials are over, all our sorrow will end and our voices will blend with the loved ones who've gone on before. This is the verse that has a problem. And in our songbook, I do not like the wording. It's been fixed in some songbooks. But can anybody see what the problem of this is? I kind of talked about a similar problem with a Tillett Tedley song that I've talked about in the past. Because there's clearly a doctrinal error in this verse. But changing one word in that will fix it. Hit it on the nail, hit the nail on the head right there. The loved ones have gone on before. I've got lots of loved ones. My dad, in studying with him, made the statement. I've commented about this before. He made the statement, well, if I'm going to die and go to hell as a Baptist, I'm going to die and go to hell. He told me that straight to my face because he couldn't answer the scripture. And I confronted him with why baptism is wrong. Now, with that kind of attitude towards the Bible or God, can I believe that my father was ever died and has gone to heaven? No, I can't. So to say that the loved ones will meet us, I hope there'll be loved ones in heaven. But I think the right word in there, the best word in there would be if we change that to saved ones. Changing that one word fixes this whole verse. It gets it in a doctrine. But you can see the Baptist influence. And in fact, you get a taste of, if you please, universalism. What if Obed started preaching from the pulpit? We wouldn't let him preach that from the pulpit, that everybody, all our loved ones we're going to see in heaven. I know I have loved ones, people I care about deeply, either that have died ahead of me or that will follow me, that will not be in heaven, unfortunately. because they refuse and have refused to obey God. I think we all know of some of those. Now, don't misunderstand me. Those that are in heaven that we meet should be loved ones, and we should love them. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. But this song gets a little shaky where it is, and it'd be better if we have it. And in fact, one of the songbooks called Sacred Selections changed that to Saved Ones instead of Loved Ones.
I feel it's indicating all inclusiveness.
What?
It's indicating all loved ones.
Yeah, it's indicating about salvation for all loved ones. And this is a song that I would argue that we need to change. One word fixes it, but you can see the Baptist influence and some of the other denominational influence from the back. 2 Timothy 4:6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. In other words, all that are willing to obey God, to love his appearing, by love, we obey him, we keep his commandments. That's how we show our love for God. If we do that, we'll receive the same crown that Paul recognized that he was going to receive from God, from heaven. We find the promise given to the church there in Revelation 2:10. It says, "Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested. And you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." The fact is, and I've commented this several times about, again, it was a James Bond movie, and the bad guy makes the comment, and it's so true. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there. But in this life, unless God comes, we're all going to die, and that's how we get to heaven. Paul was ready to put off this life. In fact, there are several writings we find in the New Testament about him, recognizing for him it would be better if he died and went to heaven. But for us, it's better that he stayed. At this point in time, when he writes to Timothy, we know that he's in trial in Rome and he's about to be killed. So we find that's exactly what happened. And we find Christians through that whole first century that happened, that they lost and gave up their life. We again read this verse. It says, "Our troubles and trials are over." So we recognize some of the biggest troubles and trials and sorrows we have in this world is the parting of loved ones. We lose those, and those that we care about, that we love. And it's sad when we see those that we care about die when they're not obedient to God. But notice what Paul also recognized is we see Christians die. We see those that we love that are in the church that we should care about deeply. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." I always wonder about that rising. I have an innate fear of heights, but I don't think that fear of heights is going to apply in that situation. I flew in the Coast Guard in a helicopter, and we did search and rescue, but you get me up a high building or a tall place and something, and I don't want any part of that. So I always wonder about what's going to change at that point. But God tells us we'll rise to be with him in heaven. And so one of the greatest blessings we shall have in the heavenly land will be the reunion with those loved ones, and not loved ones, and again, I'm reading from the notes that this person wrote, it's from the saved ones, being reunited or united with the saved ones in heaven. Because the only ones in heaven are going to be the saved ones, not necessarily our loved ones. Hopefully, not hopefully, I can guarantee you, everyone that goes to heaven will love the others, Christians that are in heaven, because we will love our brothers and sisters in God and Christ. So if you please, there will be loved ones in heaven, but we'll have those that we loved and cared about on this earth that were not obedient to God, and we will not see them anymore. Revelation 22:14 says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates in the city." The washing of the robes, the figurative idea, if you please, we wash our robes, as Romans 3:23 tells us, is the like figure of Moses that passed through that water. That like figure is where baptism does save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. Where our conscience is clean because we're obeying God, we're seeking him, we're loving him. And the chorus reminds us of what the eternal nature of our life in heaven. This idea that says, never grow old, in a land where we'll never grow old. Never grow old, never grow old, in a land where we'll never grow old. That would be so wonderful. I've discussed a song, Heaven Holds All to Me. It was written by Brother Tillett Tedley, who wrote a wonderful song. But he, in that one, I've also mentioned in that one, verse 2, it also talks about loved ones and seeing them in heaven, and that really needs to be saved ones. Now, I recognize, again, that we should love all Christians, but it should be that concept there. I would like to read one more. I'd like to go through, we've got about 10 minutes here, a little less than 10 minutes. We'll go through one more song here real quick. If you turn over to page 280, it's a song. It's a song that I love dearly. But we also need to think about this song in the proper sense. It's a song that says, "It is well with my soul." First off, realize that this song was written by a man that had been through great tribulation in his life. But he was a Presbyterian. So what is he thinking when he says, "It is well with my soul"? Presbyterians are strong, strong Calvinists. So what he's thinking is God has told him he's going to heaven. So he can say, "As well with my soul," because he doesn't worry about what he's doing because he thinks God has already saved him. If we look at his story, the gentleman's name is Spafford, S-P-A-F-F-O-R-D, and he started life in New York and moved to Chicago. He was a lawyer there, fairly successful, bought a bunch of property in Chicago, and guess what? Right after he brought that property on the north side of Chicago, we got the Great Chicago Fire, which wiped out a bunch of it. His family had planned a vacation, and because of things surrounding that, he did not go with them. But he sent his wife, and his, he had had a son that was born that died of a died there. But he sent his wife to England, and on the way to England, the boat that she was sailing on with their four daughters hit another boat and sank. It sank in 12 minutes. Now, fortunately for the wife, some other fishing vessels were in the area and found her boat, her body floating. She was unconscious, but they pulled her out of the water and she survived. But the four daughters did not. They later continued in life. He had three more children. So that means the mother had had eight or nine children. That's a lot there. He had the boy they had died of scarlet fever. They had two daughters named Bertha and Grace, and they eventually moved to Israel, to Jerusalem, and he died there from malaria. The Presbyterian Church had thrown them out because they thought they were bad luck with all the bad things that happened to them, because they had their more than their fair share in this life of bad things happening to them. And he writes a song. But we need to think about this song to say, "As well with my soul." as well our soul, only when we're in obedience with God's word. So we need to be very careful when we sing this song to make sure that we're singing words that are true, that it is well with our souls. I hope if we're a faithful Christian, we should be able to sing these words and sing them right. Stanza 1 says, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say." Now he originally, you can see the Calvinism, he taught me to know is what he did. And over the years, the wording has changed, taught me to say. This wording is not new for our book or anything. He's taught me to say, it is well with my soul. If we're in obedience to God's word, as we read in John chapter 3, verse 36, it says, if we believe, if we obey him, belief is not sufficient, but obedience is what we need to strive. Isaiah 66:12 says, "For thus saith the Lord, behold, I extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream, and you'll be nursed, you'll be carried on the hip and fondled on the knees." And carried on the hip, I enjoyed watching Constance and Luke, as you probably can attest to, is definitely growing and becoming very vocal in some of the things he's doing. He's back there crawling. And women, fathers, can remember carrying our little ones on their hip and carrying them around as they grow. And God uses this analogy to talk about him and his nation of Israel. And by extension, it would apply to all Christians. Peace is available even in sorrows that might cause anxiety come. Philippians 4:6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I'm not going to get through all the pages of my study tonight, so we'll cut a little bit of this out here. But think about that, and think about what we need to do. Stanza 2 says, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, lest this blessed assurance go control. Now this verse is not in our songbook, I'm just reading it. "And Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul." And Christ did shed his blood for our souls. Our verse 2 in our songbook says, "My sin, oh the bliss of the glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul." Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Yet 1 Peter 2:24 says, "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you are healed." We have redemption in his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the richness of his grace, Ephesians 1:7. We have this redemption through Christ's blood. There's a couple other verses that were not, they're not in our songbook for various reasons. However, this third stanza, or stanza 4 that's in our songbook, says, "And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight, and the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." So we need to understand that God is coming again. Christ is coming again with a trump. He's promised that he'll descend. We find in Acts 1:11 that the men were reminded. It says, "O men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." So we need to have that expectation of God, of Christ coming again. It's now time for our class to be over. So let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer and think about the words of the song so we can make sure our souls are in harmony with God and we can truly say, it is well with our soul. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before Thee, thanking Thee. Thanking Thee for Thy word, thanking Thee for Thy Son, thanking Thee for the blessings we have in the church. May we truly live in harmony with Thee, May we strive every day with every fiber of our being to be obedient to Thee, to love Thee, to serve Thee through the good times and through the bad times. We pray that bless our efforts. Bless everyone that's here tonight. May we grow in Thee. Forgive us our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.